Santa Claus is coming to town.
He may well be coming to town, and, well, we'll just have to wait and see, won't we? Mistletoe Singers there on Southside Broadcasting, Channel 1 for Hospedia. And it's time to actually resume our kind of coverage of what has been one of the radio drama events of the year, the regular sequential release on a weekly basis of podcasts from what we're referring to as Radio B, basically, from that point of view. And we're delighted to be able to welcome back to the airwaves somebody who's been absent for far, far, far too long, although he's been extraordinarily busy. He is a legend, certainly, with respect to Doctor Who circles, but a whole heap of other goodies. And if we actually said Reverend Marcus Ocelot, you might get a general flavour in terms of the legend that is Peter Miles. How are you, Peter? Are you alive, well, hale and hearty?
I like the way you put that. Yes, I'm never hale and hearty, I suppose so, and I'm pretty fit, and it's lovely to hear you. Before we continue, I want to get this in. Alex, happy Christmas to everybody and who's listening, and to you, Alex. And Happy New Year to you too.
Peter, that's obviously duly reciprocated. And thank you for those kind wishes. Now, let us move on to, as we say, Radio B. Now, clearly this is part of the ongoing Caldor City Magic Bullet Productions, Alan Stevens, Fiona Moore takeover of the world when it comes to acting circles, really. So what did you think when you actually received the script and said, finally I'm playing a man of the cloth, albeit with a crisis of conscience?
Well, in drama, in my life, I have been a very busy boy or man, and I have played several esteemed clergymen before, one on BBC, two on BBC, and one of them was one of the main parts on 30 Minutes Theatre on BBC Two with John Carlyle and myself and Ewan Hooper when I was a cardinal sent to England from Rome to chat to a rather forward liberal bishop played by Ewan Hooper, which I loved. But this is a different kettle of fish.
I think it's fair to say, yes, that obviously if Vatican Radio was actually producing the same sort of things that we see in Radio B, it would be a whole different world, really.
Yes, well, you are referring to the brand new, sensational Alan Stevens, Fiona Moore and Robert Locke's production of Little Bastard on the something.
Precisely, exactly. It's
which is an uproarious comedy. Yeah, it's witty, it's clever. I use these words very carefully. It is witty, it is clever. It has marvellous use, although for comic purpose, but marvellous use of the English language, something that the 21st century and 20th century are tending to forget about, that the English language has always been, for hundreds of years, one of the great languages of the world. You wouldn't think so today when people have got such small vocabularies, but that's the way of the world, the way life goes. But Alan and Fiona have such command of the English language, and they use it for comic effect. I'm stunned by how good. I've just listened to both CDs, which Alan gave me for Christmas. I mean private CDs, not ones on sale. Mm-hmm. In which I'm heavily involved, but so are about 12 very, very good actors indeed, and all superb at comedy. I'm absolutely thrilled to be involved in it, Alex.
It shows that talent will always rise to the top, and we've said that time and time again. We did that when we spoke to Tracy Russell, and clearly you have Paul Darrow there. It's in many ways, I think we're almost generating what Orson Welles used to refer to as his Mercury Theatre Company. Perhaps Alan Stevens will refer to this as his Magic Bullet Theatre Company.
What do I say to that?
I think that's a fair point. Because, of course, you know, in terms of repertory radio, this is a wonderful example of that. I mean, you have featured clearly in The Surgery, in which you played Mr. Pierce,
yes,
an MI6 secret agent who disguised yourself as a mad old woman called Mrs. Nia Sidewood, which is
correct.
Extraordinary. Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you were connected with the early productions of the Egyptian god in the Faction Paradox series. So, would you say that in terms of that, I know we don't have repertory in theatre as such, but in terms of radio and audio productions, is this a wonderful way in which Magic Bullet Productions are taking that proverbial baton and running with it?
Yes. So you're asking me...
In terms of, would you say it's a good thing, the sort of radio dramas that we're getting? Because I've always been one of the belief that theatre of the mind is so powerful, and that's one of the
Absolutely.
Beauties of radio.
I've been heavily involved in making CDs for BBC Big Finish and for Alan Stevens and for sundry other independent companies, such as one called Prosperity Isle, based on The Tempest by Shakespeare, brought up to date as a Doctor Who event, which was allowed to go ahead, although it wasn't from the Beeb, starring Sylvester McCoy, Sophie Aldred, and I had the main part representing the lead in The Tempest.
Yeah.
Prosperity Isle. I love that.
There is an argument, of course, Peter, for saying that The Tempest was one of Shakespeare's science fiction-oriented plays, really.
Indeed. Shakespeare is a genius. Let nobody forget. I'm mad on making CDs. I made one about a year ago with very dear Jacqueline Pierce for Blake 7 CDs, of which many are being made. So many, indeed, there's a queue for them to even be edited, let alone released into the world, including mine and Jacqueline Pierce. It's a CD, Blake 7 extension one, and the only people in it are myself and Jacqueline Pierce. So it's a duet and a complete CD.
And isn't it interesting that these are proving so successful? Surely that proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is a hunger for good quality drama. Sometimes in an era where we look at television schedules and we see game shows and reality TV shows and documentary dramas and so on, it's actually quite refreshing to find that actually, you know, there's still a demand for good old-fashioned narratives and storytelling.
Well, that is dead true. And also, you must add to that fact that the number of hugely enthusiastic sci-fi fans abound throughout Great Britain. I was in Swansea at a Doctor Who Day event as the main guest with Louise Jameson. We weren't on the stage together, but the two of us were there.
You get to meet in the green room, presumably.
A few weeks back, and when I walked on stage, you know, as you had the wonderful comment to make about me being a bit of a legend.
Peter, you are. That's why you're on the show.
When I walked on stage, the audience went into wild clapping.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, what have I... I forget what I used to be.
I think it's only a matter of time, Peter, before you get the call from the palace and we get a knighthood that's probably being in the offered. I think Sir Peter Miles has got a ring to it.
Well, I think the Beeb, like show business, who are in charge of productions and casting and with all the power, they tend to put old people in the dustbin and think the attitude is... we knew your work, but of course then you were 38, and of course you couldn't possibly play anything now. You're much too old. You're put in the dustbin. Forgetting that I have a voice worthy of any radio production on any radio station.
And it's also quite an interesting fact, because a few weeks ago I was in London and I was actually asked to chair an event for the Royal Television Society, and it was all about ageism in the media. And I chaired it with Nick Ross and with a couple of other fine folk from the production team from Last Tango in Halifax. And there was exactly this issue you raised, that somehow we seem to be dangerously close to getting to that notion of thinking, well, just because somebody is chronologically gifted or experientially enhanced doesn't necessarily mean to say that actually they can't still do the business. Okay, I'm not necessarily going to say, Peter, you'd make the ideal next James Bond, but a James Bond senior, definitely. You know, it's an interesting line in terms of where this actually sort of comes and how people actually decide, you know, on the basis of, you know, it would seem a whim that somebody is actually capable or not capable of actually doing something.
I know. Well, we shan't go into that.
Oh, well.
Since I don't know the duration of this wonderful interview with Alex, with you, my dear, I must say this, that Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore and Robert Locke wrote this new, very funny, hour and a quarter comedy, all taking place in a countryside English independent radio station with all sorts of odd people ringing up, or the presenters going to outside broadcasts mm-hmm. where people are doing very strange things too.
Well, bungee jumping from a helicopter is not a sensible thing to do at the best of times.
The ideas are flowing like mad from the
It can only end in tears, that's what I'd say, and I don't want to give any plot spoilers away.
No, I'm just saying that they've written a brilliant script, and it's very clever in the complimentary sense, very witty, and extremely funny in many places, and they have the power to write for, 10 or 12 people in it, and everybody has a completely independent character which you can visualize. That's what I love. They write so well. You can't do more for an actor than write great scripts, can you?
Well, I think that'll obviously sort of be echoed around the globe via this podcast and other things,
yes,
if you're accessing it from that.
Yeah, I loved playing the vicar of the local town. Loved it.
Well, I mean, as I say, Marcus Ocelot, the Reverend Marcus Ocelot.
Yes, I loved it.
It's worthwhile progressing. Peter, we can't let you go without a thought, really, on what thankfully didn't turn out to be a tragedy, but obviously was quite a shocking incident earlier this week with the Apollo Theatre. Have you ever been in a situation where you've either had to vacate the theatre because there's been a fire alert, a fire alarm, or, I mean, it brings a whole new meaning to the term bring the house down, I would have thought.
I love the way you put that. Yes, it's actually a terribly serious matter, and I'm stunned by the Apollo event. It's terrible. Yeah. I can't imagine what it would be like there. Yeah. Well, it would be like World War II.
Well, absolutely.
The same as World War II. Yeah.
The thing managed to survive, but obviously kept on going from that. I mean, it'd be interesting, obviously.
Some people have been seriously hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I have, actually. I can't recall it if I have, because my memory will go.
I suppose to a certain extent when you were Davros and the the whole thing, there's the notion there that the sort of things would actually collapse in all sorts of ways, really. But not Davros, Nida. Let me get the name. Good.
You're talking about me.
I am. Yes, indeed. Yes. I was thinking your time in Genesis of the Daleks. There might well have been an issue there where things were collapsing.
I'm going to get a word in there, Alex.
Yes.
I think the world, including especially people who write anything to do connected with Doctor Who directly or even indirectly, should come to know quickly that I have a great alliance with Terry Molloy, who's currently very alive like me, and his Davros I admire more than I can say, and he admires me more than I can say, and the combination of Terry Molloy and I appearing on stage together as a double act at a convention. Nobody has thought of that idea. I don't know why they haven't, but they just haven't. It would make a great entertainment between Terry Molloy and myself.
I think we might just have sown that seed, Peter. We'll start the campaign going from that point of view.
Yeah,
I think it's a way forward.
We've done the live show in Manchester of Doctor Who, the Trial of Davros.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Molloy and I in front of well over 1,000 people. And of course, the BBC Big Finish, I, Davros, was a great script.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
In which Davros discovered Nida as a young lieutenant in the army, being an excellent fighter, commander, and gradually taking him into his permanent trust as about the only villain he could trust in the whole planet. I love doing that.
Well, exactly, and it does sort of explore that dark side quite delightfully, one might say.
Yeah, I think Terry Molloy is great. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Although it has to be said, he's nothing like Davros in real life. I just want to sort of put that right in terms of the whole system. You know, he's an actor, much like yourself, Peter. You know, sometimes people get a bit confused. It's important to sort of say. It's worth all.
We all miss Michael Wisher, of course.
Yeah, sure, indeed.
Tom Baker so admired Michael.
Yeah.
Quite rightly.
But it is a time where we reflect back, and as we say, certainly looking into the future, it's well worth saying that Radio Bastard is available for download. Just go to caldorcity.com and you can actually download that and make your own CDs if you wish. It's all wonderful in technology scenario.
Yes, I know.
Peter, it's been a genuine delight just sharing some time with you today.
How kind of you.
Well, as I say, I've been very guilty because it's been nearly 2 years, I think, since we last featured a good source.
How long?
I think it's been nearly 2 years, actually.
That's right, isn't it?
Which is why my initial, well, in fact, one of our first resolutions for 2014 is to feature you again very shortly. So we've got two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Have I had what?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today? Has it been?
Oh, yes. I mean, the discipline is that, as there's a time limit, I have to sort of control myself and not expand on various things like I would do at a Doctor Who One Day event, where I can literally expand and think of anecdotes that amuse the audience very much, because I know so many people in the programme. You know, I have to control myself on radio.
Well, in which case...
Because there's a time limit.
But time is an illusion, as many metaphysicians have actually come to the conclusion already.
Oh, sure, exactly. It's a trick.
It's a cosmological jest on the whole world.
But I thoroughly enjoy talking to you, Alex. Very, very pleased to speak to you today.
Well, the next crucial question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, probably about mid-January, to welcome you back? And we'll give you a bit more time to actually share the loves and joys and happinesses of Peter Miles and actor's life and more.
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, I'd love that.
Fantastic. I'd love that. Peter, a genuine delight, and we will speak in January.
Okay, Eric. Thank you very much indeed.